Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Project 613 here in Chicago with a live studio audience. Yes, we are back. We missed that live studio audience. We missed all of you. We missed a couple of weeks, beautiful weeks of Passover, hoping that they were wonderful for you and your families, just as they were incredible for our Garfinkel family, as well as our larger Project 613 family. It was actually a beautiful, beautiful Pesach. The weekend right after Pesach finished, we just had a Shabbos in the city with dozens and dozens and dozens of Jewish young professionals in downtown Chicago, and that was spectacular as well, and no rest for the weary. It's been a very busy and wonderful time. This is why we love doing what we do, sharing Jewish Torah values and knowledge with the young professionals and celebrating Shabbos. Very special. I want to do a quick plug. It's politics night. Now, you might think that it's going to get hot and heavy. It might a little bit. We'll see. But it's a different type of election is at stake right now. The World Zionist Organization is giving away, in Israel, $5 billion over the next 5 years. That's $1 billion a year for 5 years. It's a long story how that works through the Keren Kayemet Yisrael, which is JNF, or the American version of it. But basically, a lot of that money is determined by votes. And there's 22 slates from North America vying for a piece of the pie. Well, Project 613 is part of Olami, which has its very own slate for its literally hundreds of Jewish organizations teaching Torah. And believe it or not, if we win, or to the extent that we win, it's going to go straight to Jewish education, not politics, not fighting our fellow Jews with political messages, but literally more subsidized Israel trips and better programming, etc. So if you have an opportunity, please send me a quick email and I will send you instructions how to do it. It is rabbishalomg@gmail.com. rabbishalomg@gmail.com. Please send me a quick email and say, Rabbi, I would love to help you. It is going to cost you $5 just to make sure they know everyone's legit. Money doesn't go to me. And 5 minutes. So if you could help the rabbi out, $5, 5 minutes to help us win part of this election, that would be amazing. Send a quick email, or if you know me, text me, WhatsApp me, and it would mean a lot, and I'll send you the information how to do it. Now, transitioning now into politics, I had just the most fun time before Pesach. You know, I'm on many different Jewish organizations' lists. Why? I kind of like to have my finger on the pulse. I like to see what's going on. I'd like to, you know, see what Jews are saying about what. And I was so struck. It was hysterical. The two main Jewish political groups in America representing the Democrats and the Republicans, and their messages before Pesach was just the inspiration for this podcast. So you imagine that JDCA, the Jewish Democratic Council of America, sends out every year, which is my favorite thing, they send out a Passover Haggadah guide, which, God willing, we will talk about a little bit later, and messaging. And they messaged Trump as Pharaoh, that he's the evil Pharaoh that we need to fight. And there's 10 plagues that we can inflict on Trump. It's too much. It's hysterical. And then I open up another email from the Republican Jewish Council, RJC, Republican Jewish Council, I think it is. And they have Trump as Moses and with a whole litany of Dayenus, which hopefully we'll get to later. And it's just this head scratcher. Like, who else but the Jews, you know? Two different emails, both Jewish, one calling Trump Pharaoh and one calling Trump Moses. And no one's in between. And so I thought that would be a comical entree into discussing the Jewish approach to government and what ultimately we can take out of it. All right, so here we go. The very first concept of Jews being involved in government was all the way back in Bereshit in Genesis with Yosef. Yosef, who was sold down to Egypt by his brothers, is the ultimate creme de la creme. He represents the Jewish people no matter how much the non-Jews try to push him down. He floats to the top like fine cream, like the olive oil above the water. He is always rises to the top in whatever situation, and eventually he becomes to be Pharaoh's main advisor. And in fact, he transcends the role of advisor. He's actually running the whole country. And it is remarkable. And the Ramban famously, and we've quoted this Ramban Nachmanides many, many times here on Monday Motivation, of Maase Avosinam Labanim, that the actions of our forefathers and our foremothers, they carve the way, they pave the way for us for the future. It's a sign for us in the future. So if Yosef was the one who had Pharaoh's ear, then there were going to be other Jews throughout history who were going to have the ears of the leaders. And any quick, superficial survey of our history shows that that is exactly true. You name it. Shmuel HaNagid to the Muslim rulers of Spain, to all the way down to Henry Kissinger. I skipped a lot in there, but you're looking, and the American presidents. When I was in the White House as an intern in 1993, it was filled with Jews, one of them being Rahm Emanuel. Supposedly he has his eyes on the Illinois governorship. We'll see what happens with that, not sure. And whatever administration it is, you are going to be guaranteed to have lots of Jews involved, both from both sides of the aisle, because that is in our DNA. So we see that's one legitimate pattern, that the Jewish people, we're smart and we have a sense for what could be successful. And so you'll see a lot of the top advisors always being Jewish. Fine. That's one aspect of a Jewish approach to government. But what is the average Jewish approach? Like, how do we view government in general? So Pirkei Avos, the Ethics of Our Fathers, which is a tractate of the Mishnah, which is something that the custom is to learn one of the six chapters each afternoon of Shabbos afternoon. It's a long Shabbos afternoon. Want to fill it with meaningful things. And in fact, on Shabbos in the city, we did. We learned Pirkei Avos. It was a very beautiful time. And Pirkei Avos has a few different things, what it says about government. So one of them is that Shemaiah was in chapter 1, Mishnah 10, and he was one of the leaders of the Jewish people, and he finishes, Al titvada l'rishus. You shouldn't make yourself known to the government. Why shouldn't you make yourself known to the government? Because the government is a very whimsical thing. And at one point, if you're loud and you are making big, loud points, maybe the government will find you and give you its opinion of you and its opinion of your opinion. Best to keep a low profile. In chapter 2, Mishnah 3, it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, the one who redacted the entire Mishnah, says that Hevu Zahirin Birishus, you should be careful with the government. Why? Because the government always has ulterior motives, selfish motives. She'ein mekarvin lo adam, that a government does not bring a person close, ela letzorach atzmon, except for its own selfish needs. Nirin ke'ovin b'shas anasan, it'll be your best buddy when the government is benefiting from you. But the government is not there for you when you need them, be this the government in general or specific members of the inner circle with whom you've gotten close. So there's a lot of a let's keep a healthy distance away from the government, because we as soon as the moment we have to rely on them, they're not there for us when we need it. Now, on the other hand, though, we're not anti-government at all. We are very anti-anarchy. We like an ordered world. One of the seven mitzvahs, commandments, that God gives to non-Jews is to set up a system of courts. We like order. We like law and order. We do not like criminals on the streets. We do not like letting criminals go on the streets. If there are criminals illegally in our country and the government wants to send them back, that is something that every Jew should say, wow, good idea. And it should not be a controversial one. And in fact, the Mishnah says in chapter 3, Mishnah 2, Reb Chanina Skanakonim, Rabbi Chanina, the vice head of the vice president, literally, of the priest, the Kohen Omer, Heve mispalel b'shloma shamachus. You should daven, should pray for the peace of the and the shalom, the peace of the government. Why? She'el male mora'a, because if people would not fear the government, ish esreyu chayim below, everyone would literally eat each other alive, says the Mishnah. And so therefore, we don't like riots. We don't like violent protests because they're trying to break down the order and make things unsafe. Isn't it funny how our enemies love violent protests? They love trying to break down government order, whereas we want police. We want law and order. We want the government to be functioning. So I would say it's a necessary evil, something that keeps the peace in society. And yet we should not rely on it too much, because the moment that we really need it, it many times is not there for us. I would say that is a very classic approach to a Jewish approach to government. Now, so what happens when we have very loud criticisms of government? Now, if you notice, when Jews left Torah in the 19th century and the early 20th century, they became revolutionaries. They became political revolutionaries. And you see this most clearly in the Soviet Union, when they were part of the revolution and there was a Jewish group that specifically worked to Jews to torture and shut down all of Jewish religious institutions. And as soon as the Soviet Union was established, in for a few years, that Jewish group was the one that was literally wiped out by the communists. So they gave their lives to communism, and communism literally took their lives. And so this is something we're very wary about, very, very loud protests against the government, because we never know when they are going to find us and show us their protest against us. Okay, so here we go. So now I want to transition into the topic, the title of the podcast, which we had discussed in the beginning, Pharaoh or Dayenu. And we would like to take a peek over here about the current administration. And if you look at this AI generated, I generated it on WhatsApp AI, just to give credit, this unbelievable image of Donald Trump as both Pharaoh and Moses side by side. I think AI did a very good job. So which is it? Which is he? And so I would like to first pick on the Democrats, and then I'm going to pick on the Republicans, okay? So if you're a Democrat listening, just chill out. Everything's going to be okay. And if you're a Republican being nice and smug, don't worry, you're going to get it soon too. So here we go. So going back to this JDCA, Jewish Democratic Council of America Seder plate, they send out a guide every year, and it's absolutely hysterical. Because basically on this Seder plate that they want you to download and talk about at your Seder, they have a Seder plate there and they have values. What are the values? Freedom and democracy. Well, I got news for you. Democracy may not even be a Torah value. We actually believe in a benevolent king and monarchy. Okay. Pursuit of justice. Well, it depends on how they define it. Welcoming the stranger. They have avataker. They have these Hebrew terms. Well, we do love the stranger, but we also believe that the law of the land is the law of the land. That doesn't mean illegal immigration is okay. Okay, and they have this vague tikkun olam, which they love so much, dignity, equity, and equality. We don't actually believe in equity. We believe that God gives everyone different opportunities, and it's each person's responsibility to make the most of it. It doesn't mean that you have to guarantee outcomes, which is their big slogan now, not even guaranteeing access of equal opportunity. They want equity. That is not a Jewish value at all. Okay, and they go on and on and on. And in this Seder companion, they go off on how bad Trump is, and he's a pharaoh, and we need to fight the 10 ways to plague the Trump regime, that we need to throw off this awful pharaoh. Now, folks, I got news for you. I don't care who's in the White House, but if the White House is removing Hamas terrorists from campus, I don't care if he's a Democrat, an independent, a liberal, a Republican. I don't care who he is. He has my support. I don't care if there's someone who is giving Israel the bombs that they need to fight Hamas. I don't care what political party they are. I'm for that person. If there's someone who is for law and order and getting rid of bad, illegal immigrant criminals, that's a Jewish value. Yes, wonderful. We like an ordered society. We don't like gang members walking the streets. That's not good for us. And we like the fact that our government now has withdrawn ourselves from the International Criminal Court, which is the biggest farce in the world. Again and again, it does not matter who the president is. We as Jews have to have gratitude when there's things that happen and policies that are pro-Jewish and pro-Israel. And my biggest complaint against the Democrats today is that they cannot have a nuanced message. Just say, look, we don't like your social policy, but we really appreciate everything you're doing to fight anti-Semitism on campus. We appreciate you taking on Harvard, and we appreciate you defunding Harvard and UCLA and Yale and all these places. Thank you so much. And they don't say that, which means that they have no gratitude, and gratitude is a Jewish value. So they define Judaism by being a Democrat with democratic values, and then even when they do things good for Jews, they cannot recognize it. That is so frustrating. And you know what message that sends future presidents? When Jews don't thank presidents for being pro-Jewish and pro-Israel, it means that I don't need to be. If they're not going to support me and even recognize when I'm being nice to Jews, why do I need to be nice to the Jews? It's such a narrow, myopic view of how to interact. And so I'm extremely, extremely disappointed with the Democrats who are not giving gratitude to Trump's administration for fighting anti-Semitism. And it doesn't matter that it's Trump or not Trump. I don't care who it is. As Jews, that's the point. People get stuck on Trump. Look what he does. If he does good policies, you should support him. And this is a big, big deal. And now the Republicans with all their Dayenus, and they list all the Dayenus, all the things I mentioned many of them, all the things that they love about President Trump. Okay, he, you know, withdrew from the UN Human Rights Council. Okay, and he supported Israel, Dayenu, and maximum pressure on Iran, Dayenu. Well, now he's negotiating with them. Okay, so listen, I'll tell you, I don't think he should negotiate with Iran. I think that's terrible. It's an awful idea. I don't care if he's a president or not. But how would I express that or not is very important. Okay? When Israel said that they would remove their 17% tariff and President Trump said he wasn't ready to do it, then I would be upset with that. What do you mean? If they remove their tariff, you should remove yours. We're not bound by party. We need to be bound by our peoplehood. It has to be peoplehood over party. And that is the message. And the challenge of the Republican side is that there's a danger of elevating Trump, that he's the savior. He's the Moses. He's the Hashem who's going to deliver it. But people who are pro-Trump need to recognize that he is just a vehicle of God's will. And if he is pro-Jewish, then that is an expression of God's will. And we cannot rely on him to do it. We need to recognize that God is the source of everything. So the Democratic values right now are off the charts. They have to start recognizing and showing gratitude, or else we're going to be singled out for not showing gratitude. And the Republicans, on the other hand, need to recognize that Trump is not Moses and Trump is not God. But we need to be grateful for the good things he does and not afraid to be politely critical when things do not go our way. Jews love politics. We get into it. The danger is that it replaces our belief in the ultimate power. And that is the power of Hashem. And that was the whole purpose of Pesach. The whole purpose of Pesach was for us to recognize that God is the only power. He overthrew Pharaoh and the greatest civilization up to that time in world history, to show that God is one, his name is one, he's the boss, he's everything. And now we're going to use our Seder plate and our Seder messaging to take away from that message? That's a mistake. So God willing, as we launch from Pesach to Shavuos, when we are going to be receiving the Torah, let us use this vehicle of how to see politics and how to view it for us to double down, to know that Hashem is one, his name is one, he is the one in control of everything. And with that recognition, may Hashem send us the ultimate leader, Mashiach, Messiah, speedily in our days. God bless. Have an amazing week. And God willing, we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.